Chapter 24. I want to speak to you this morning. The Lord would be my helper and work with me on deception. Because how many believe we're in the hour of the greatest deception known to man?
Amen.
Yes, amen.
This is we're in the time of the greatest deception. And Jesus told us when they asked him when the end of the world would come and when the destruction of Jerusalem would come and all this stuff. You know, they came to him privately. In other words, they had been with Jesus long enough to know that he didn't tell everybody everything.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And some things he spoke in parables because it wasn't given for them to understand the parables.
Amen.
And the reason for that is that they had been given prophets and teachers and instructors in righteousness for thousands of years, and they had rejected God. He talked about the Jew, they had rejected it. And Jesus said, well, I'm speaking to them in parables where they can't understand it. And he took them aside and he said, but unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Now you might think, well, that's not fair. But it is fair. For let me know God is a just God.
Yes.
God is fair.
Amen.
And but God had already sent them prophets. God had already sent John the Baptist. By this time, you know, they had already rejected John.
Amen.
And I'm talking about the religious order of that hour and that time. The Pharisees, Sadducees, they had rejected John. They didn't care about John.
Amen.
And so Jesus spoke to them in parables. But then his disciples, he would explain to them what they meant. And here in this setting here is that, in Matthew 24, later, before the Lord was about to be crucified, and they want to know what the sign of his coming was. What was the end time going to be like? When's all these things going to happen? And in verse 4, Jesus began to answer. And the first thing that came out of his mouth was, "Take heed that no man deceive you."
Praise God.
Deception has always been in the world. How many knows it began in the Garden of Eden?
Amen.
That's right.
Satan is the author of deception. And we're promised, though, in this end time setting, that many would come in his name saying they were Christ or saying they were anointed. You know, we've had a lot of false people come and say they were the Messiah or they were this or that. But if we take the word Christ and apply it to the meaning of Christ, and that means anointed, you could say that for many will come in my name saying, "I am anointed," mm-hmm. "and shall deceive many." We'll read it a little bit later. We know and understand the Apostle Paul said that Satan comes, or his ministers can come and appear as angels of light, ministers of righteousness, the apostles of Christ. So the Lord is warning here, I believe, that not only that some will come saying he was there, the Christ, but also that they are anointed. And they would deceive many. Now, when we think about this, I think about the Old Testament. I've got a scripture here I want you to turn to in the Old Testament. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 13. And I want us to understand something here. I have been, and I thank the Lord for those that have given me a word from the Lord, our brethren, our sisters, just about everybody. So I'm not picking on any certain person. About everybody in this room has said some things to myself and Sister Glenda maybe of our calling and they appreciate what we do and everything. And I appreciate that. But I want us to look at a particular scripture because I want us all, somebody say all of us.
All of us.
I want us all to be aware of spiritual things.
Amen.
And the one thing we must understand, and that is this. The spirit of God and the spirit of man is like that. Hold your two fingers together. They're like that. He that's joined unto the Lord is one spirit with the Lord.
Amen.
Is that right? So if you're one spirit with the Lord, you're pretty close to God. I mean, you're pretty close to God. You can't get no closer than that. But the spirit of man and the spirit of God is so close, the spirit of man can get in the way of the spirit of God. Amen. I come to think of a minister, I won't call his name, was up in the northeastern part of the United States that had given Sister Glenn and I a great word, and I respect him, and I believe it was from the Lord. But he also come and told me what all he was going to do. He was going to open those doors in the northeast in New York, several places for us, and he was going to help us to do that, and you know, so... I left there thinking, well, praise God, here's an open door, you know. But now how? But he never did that. He never did that. I had written him a letter or two, and you know, I never heard back from him or nothing. So how can this be? How can one speak by the Spirit of the Lord and it be true, but yet on the other hand, speak something that's not true, or it didn't back it up? It's simply because of this thing between our ears. Amen. We're spirit, soul, and body. Sometime our carnal mind gets in the way. And we can speak things that are right from the Lord, and we can turn right around and speak something from our own spirit, our own heart, our own soul. That's why we see a lot of people prophesying. And last night we were talking, and our brother back here agreed with me, you know, and he was talking about it too, about people just prophesying all kinds of stuff. We go and end up 90%. I think you said 90%. I said 99% of all those prophecies is not coming from the Spirit of God. It's coming from the Spirit of man. It's not from God.
Amen.
It's yea, the Lord would say this. They ought to just say, yea, I would say this, because it'd be more accurate.
Amen.
And saying, yea, I say unto you.
Amen.
And so in Pentecostal movements and Pentecostal charismatic churches, this is the predominant thing, that everybody wants a word. Everybody wants a prophecy. Mm-hmm. And so the devil has gotten this thing of prophecy so strong now, that it is hard really to discern what's coming from God and what's coming from, you know, the recesses or resources of man's imagination. Mm-hmm. So all of us need to be careful when something is spoken to us, or if we see someone on, how many have ever seen a TV evangelist say something and it come to pass?
Yes.
Am I the only one that's ever heard of a TV evangelist preaching something and speaking something coming to pass? Well, I can assure you that they are saying things that is coming to pass.
Yes.
Well, this is going to be a hard one, I think. But it's the truth.
Amen.
It's the truth. They have their prophets. They speak things. And sometimes it comes to pass. I have personal friends that speak things, and sometimes it comes to pass. Other times it don't come to pass.
Amen.
So we have to understand, you know, and have to, you know, get in a spiritual mindset to where we can know the Spirit of God and the spirit of man and what God is speaking. God will never speak anything contrary to his word, number one.
Amen.
If it's not thus saith the word of God, it's not coming from God.
Amen.
It's coming from the resources of a man's imagination, or it's coming from straight from the devil.
Amen.
God will never lead you away from holiness, godliness, and righteous living.
Amen.
Never.
Amen.
Satan will, man will. But God will never lead you outside of the word of God.
Amen.
I heard a minister say one time where it says in the prayer that Jesus said for them to pray, and said somewhere in that prayer, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Well, he took that. One time he fell into temptation and committed adultery and done all kind of horrible things, went back into drugs, and God actually led him into temptation. And is actually preaching it to the people, you know, that God led him into temptation and to teach him a lesson, you know, about backsliding and all this stuff. Well, God is not going to lead you into temptation.
God cannot be tempted.
That's right. That was
amen. But I mean, these are the things that come from people that are in confusion.
Amen.
Or being led by another spirit.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you something. The spirit of God and the spirit of the devil, it's hard to discern sometimes. Amen.
Yes.
Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 1, the Word of God says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder,
amen,
and the sign or the wonder comes to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and serve him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave to him. Now, I'm going to read that, and I hardly ever use another standard or version, but the Revised Standard Version says it this way, and it's just exactly the same thing. The words are just different. The use of the language old King James Version language has been kind of modernized here. And here's what it says in that. It says, if a prophet arises among you, or a dreamer of dreams, and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or a wonder which he tells you comes to pass, and if he says, let us go after other gods which have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or to that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you. That's what the word proved means. It means the Lord your God is testing you. Amen. So isn't it amazing that a person can come and prophesy something to you? They can say, tomorrow at this time there's going to be an earthquake in Los Angeles, California, and that earthquake would come to pass, but that prophet would not even be from God. And that word would be to lead you astray from God. So that's why you cannot go by what someone says as far as following that person or following that ministry, because what they said was going to come to pass. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you something, a lot of the preachers and TV evangelists and different ones all around everywhere are speaking things, and some of these things are coming to pass, but they're not leading us in the ways of the Word of God. They're leading us away from God's Word, rather into the Word of God.
Right.
So he said, well, Brother Hayes, how can this be? Well, the Lord said, he talked about the last days, he said that, he said in a way that it's really strong, but he said God will send a strong delusion.
Amen.
That they all might be laid a lie and be damned who receive not the love of the truth. Can you imagine that? That God would send a strong delusion. You know what a delusion is? It is a deception. God will actually send a deception to people that refuse to walk in the ways of the Lord.
Amen.
That refuse to walk after God.
Amen.
God said, hey, you're making me resort to just letting you do your own thing. I'm going to let you feel like you're right, and you're just going to go on your way.
Amen.
And you're going to be deceived.
Amen.
Now, that's a harsh thing to say, but listen, how about looking at it on God's viewpoint? A God that loves people enough that he gave his only begotten son to die on a cross and suffer a horrible death. You know, a God that's done everything he can to send righteous men and women with the word of truth, the word of God, to help people. You know, to draw close to the Lord and to do the things that God wants you to do. In other words, and these people have suffered. A lot of them have died. A lot of them even have been murdered, you know, just trying to get the truth to God's people. Well, then in the last days, God said, well, hey, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you a strong delusion. You might believe a lie and be damned.
Amen.
In other words, like God said, it's almost like God said back in the days of the flood. When God just got fed up with people, he just got fed up with sin. He just got fed up with the way that people were. And it's almost the same. It's going to be the same way of the last days. And God said, hey, I'm fed up with you.
Amen.
I'm just going to let you believe a lie and be down because you do not want to walk in the ways of righteousness and holiness in the Word of God. So there's the danger in the end time that they are going to rise prophets and they're going to rise men and women dreaming dreams. Amen. And some of these things are going to come to pass, but the word that's in them, the word, I want you to listen, the word that's in them,
yes.
The word that's in them,
amen,
is perverted.
Yes.
Right.
It's perverted. They'll talk about Jesus, they'll talk about the word of God, they'll talk about these things, but the real truth of the matter is they're perverting it enough to damn your soul.
Amen.
That's why when people get into Judaism, when they get into all this kind of stuff, you know, when they get into all kind of worldliness, and they get into all kind of like some of the Pentecostal churches we go to, praise God, if you don't go in there and prophesy to everybody in the church, they're not going to welcome you back.
Amen.
I almost get to the place I refuse to prophesy to anybody because I don't want them coming to me. Amen. Won't be a word. Just like Glenda said the other night, there's a woman come to her and said, oh, I just like people to prophesy to me. I don't care if it's right or wrong.
God,
so you're talking about a religious spirit. That's a religious spirit.
Amen. Amen.
And it is predominant today.
Amen.
It is predominant today.
Amen.
And think about it. If you've got a real call of God on your life, you're going to have to deal with all of this mess.
Amen.
You're going to have to deal with Catholicism. You're going to have to deal with, you know, the Romanism involved in Catholicism. You're going to have to deal with Pentecostalism. You're going to have to deal with the Charismatic movement. You're going to have to deal with, all the different churches and all the different teachers that they're doing. Plus then among your own selves, amen, because there are people trying to come out some of these things, and then they get in a wrong spirit. Then you got to deal with all these other kinds of spirits. Because we're in the last days. And Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And there is a gift from God, and it is a real gift. And it is a gift of discernment. It's a gift of word of knowledge.
Amen.
There's no question about it. But there's also other gifts that's not coming from God.
Amen.
There was a woman one time in Paul's time that greatly, like followed him around and everything. And finally, after several days, I believe it was, Paul putting up with her. And you would have thought that she was a great woman of God, the way she was acting and everything. But she had a spirit of divination.
Amen.
And what she was saying to Paul was truth. It was the truth. But it was not coming from God.
Amen.
It was coming from the devil.
Amen.
Right.
It's just like, the sons of Cephas, when they come up to them. Jesus we know and Paul we know, but who are you?
Yeah.
The devil, Satan, demonic spirit, they know you.
Amen.
They know about God. They know about the word of God. They understand a lot of things that you don't understand. Even when Jesus came in contact with the devil, what did they do? They fell down before him.
Yes.
You know what they cried out? We know thee,
amen,
thou Son of God. We know who you are.
Yes.
And you come to torment us before the time.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So don't think the devil is old slew foot, you know, old dragon breath, you know, and then throwing off on the devil how he, you know, he just ugly old guy, he ain't gonna do nothing. Let me tell you something. Satan, you have an enemy. I want you to know you've got an enemy
Yes. That's
well aware.
Amen.
Amen. And he is not divided in his purpose whatsoever.
Amen.
He knows exactly
Amen.
What he's trying
Yes.
to do. He knows exactly what he wants to do. And that is to deceive you, to destroy you, until you come to the place that you lose your soul.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. While Michael the archangel would not even bring a rally accusation against Satan.
Right.
You remember the scripture?
Right. Amen.
He would not bring a rallying accusation against Satan, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee, Satan."
Amen.
Understand your adversary. Understand your warfare. Understand who you're in battle with. You're not fighting against flesh and blood.
Amen.
You're not fighting against your brother or your sister that's sitting across the aisle from you, or sitting in front of you, or sitting behind you. You're struggling and you're fighting and you're warfare against principalities and powers. Amen.
Yes.
And they're in heavenly places. They're in
Amen.
Spiritual places.
Yes.
So your warfare is against demonic forces and powers.
Yes.
It is not against each other.
Amen.
And that's when we need to cling to one another. We need to recognize we are all in a spiritual warfare and a spiritual battle that is raging all about us. If God would open your eyes and you would look around this room, you would be shocked as to what you would see.
Amen.
You'd be shocked. You would see angels. You'd see powers from God. But you would also see warfare and spirits
Amen.
Trying to deceive.
Amen.
Right.
The very elect, if it would be possible. I fight them everywhere I go.
Amen.
Amen. I fight them in every service. I fight Amen. Demonic forces. I fight forces, amen, that's trying to hinder the Word of God.
Amen.
And trying to, you know, war against my mind. They bring forth the Word of God.
Amen.
I struggle with them even in times of fasting and prayer. I struggle with the devil. I know the devil is real. A lot of Christians do not
Amen.
Know that the devil is real. He is real. And
Amen.
He is intent on destroying every one of you.
Amen.
He's trying to stop the move of God in your life. He's trying to stop the ministry that God's put in your life. He's trying to hinder you and stop you in any way that he can. And the only way to defeat the devil is not screaming at him and not yelling at him and not giving the sign of the cross and all this kind of stuff, but it is get in the Word of
Amen.
God, be rooted and grounded
Amen.
On the foundation
Amen.
Of the apostles and
Amen.
Prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. That is the only way you're going to defeat the devil. Jesus defeated the devil by the Word.
Amen.
And you will defeat the devil only one way,
Amen.
By the Word.
Amen.
Amen.
You can say, I rebuke you devil, all you want to. He has a mandate.
Yes.
He knows what he's doing. And all your rebuking is going to sound okay, but it is not going to stop him unless you're rooted and grounded in the
Amen.
Truth.
Amen.
That's when your warfare, when you become victorious, when you will not be moved away from the foundation of the Word of God, what God's put in you. Jesus said, "Take heed, let no man deceive you." I found that we can be deceived in many different ways. I found that you can deceive your own self, which is a bad, bad thing to do. Amen?
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Wouldn't it be horrible, you know, if you escape the deception of the devil and everything else and wound up at the end saying, "Well, I deceived my own self." I believe those people that were going up, amen, in Matthew chapter 7 that appeared before the Lord said, "Have we not done these wonderful works? Have we prophesied in your name and cast out devils in your name?" And he looked at them and said, "You're a worker of iniquity. I never did know you."
Amen.
I believe those people had deceived their own selves.
Amen.
They thought they were something when they were nothing. They thought that what they were doing and the works that they were accomplishing, everything they were doing, and they were doing it in the name of Jesus and all that stuff. Amen. And they thought everything they were doing was going to, amen, give them access to the kingdom of God. And it will not. Jesus said, you're a worker of iniquity. Can you imagine going through this life, doing wonderful work, supporting ministry, supporting mission work, prophesying to people, casting out devils? Can you imagine doing all the activities of what religious people are involved in, thinking you're saved, doing it all in the name of Jesus? Then you get right up before the throne of God and Jesus looks at you, "You're a worker of iniquity. I never did even know you." What a horrible thought.
Amen.
What a horrible predicament to be in. Is that right?
Yes.
Amen. So, I mean, we need to consider these things. We need to consider that serving God is not just something, amen, that we're going to be religious about. There's reality here. Your immortal spirit depends, and where it's going to be, even in heaven or hell, it depends on you and your reaction to the Word of God,
amen,
and your commitment,
amen,
to Christ.
Amen.
If your commitment is any less, amen, and I believe what the New Testament shows us clear, that our commitment to Christ should be the same as the apostles, it should be the same as the early church. Our commitment to Christ should not vary one bit than the commitment that the saints of God have had before. And they would willingly die for the Lord. They would give their very lives for one another. They had a love for one another. Paul said, you would have plucked out your eyes and given them to me.
Amen.
That's how much love they had for the Apostle Paul. There's a love, praise God. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, you're filled with love.
Amen.
And you can speak in tongues and you can act religious all you want to, but if you don't have the love of God in your heart, I'm telling you what, you do not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
That is, God is love.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
He is love. He is the essence of love. So love is a key. He said, you can deceive your own self. Galatians 6 and 3 says, for if a man thinketh himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth him own self. How many knows that that's true?
Yes.
Then James 1 and 22 said, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So you can hear the word of God. You can come to church, and you can hear a sermon. You can hear a message. You can hear the preaching. You can hear a great message. You can go by out of the room and say, boy, that was a great message. But what if you don't obey it? What if you don't walk in it? What if you're just a hearer and a hand clapper and a praise the Lord, and you never walk in being obedient to the Word of God? You are deceiving your own self. You're a
Amen.
Person that is deceived.
Amen.
You go to church and act religious and act like it's God, and you go out and live like the devil. You, my friend, are deceived.
Amen.
You take the grace of God and you say, God's given you a permission to sin, you know, and you go out here and say, well, God's going to forgive me anyway. He's going to forgive me if I tell this lie. Well, you're deceived. Yes, God will forgive you, but look at your attitude. Look at what you're looking at the Word. You're trying to justify your lie by the Word of God.
Amen.
God does not like that.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Yes.
God does not want you justifying what you're doing by the Word of God.
Amen.
So we have to understand this stuff. Galatians 6 and 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor effeminate, nor abusers of mankind, of themselves with mankind. I got the scripture right here. None of those people will inherit eternal life. So if we say that we can do these things, live an unrighteous life, simply because we're saved by grace, he says, be not deceived. So we deceive ourselves many times, and I'm one, I truly believe in the grace of God. I believe you are saved by grace. But that salvation that he's given you, if you're really saved by grace, grace teaches you something. What does it teach you? To live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world.
Right.
Amen. So if it's teaching you something, if it's teaching it to you, don't you think it's teaching it to you for a reason? It's teaching you for a reason that you need to be lights of the world.
Amen.
You need to be the peoples of God that the Word of God said that you are. A peculiar people, a royal priesthood. Amen. A nation, amen, a believer. You need to be the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. You need to be the lights of the world. Well, if you're living in darkness, how can you be the light of the world? If your whole life reflects darkness rather than light, you're not a light to anybody. If you lie and cheat and steal from God, not obeying, amen, in your giving and your tithing, and you don't do the things that God, the Word of God tells you to do, instructs you to do, don't you realize people are watching you?
Yes, amen.
You are a glass house. You are written epistles read of all men. Everybody's looking to you. They're watching you. Amen. They're looking at your life. They want to know if you're going to tell a dirty joke, if you're joking around all the time, fooling around all the time. They're looking at you when you tell a lie and everything. Listen, you are in darkness. You're not a light to people.
Amen.
And you're deceiving yourself.
Yes.
But simply believing that, well, God's going to forgive me because I'm saved by His grace. Not getting many amens here.
It's a truth.
So you deceive your own self.
Amen.
And for sure, man will deceive you. Jesus said, let no man deceive you. Man will deceive you. Matthew 24:4, and Jesus said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, shall deceive many. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. For there shall arise false Christs, false anointed ones, false prophets, and shall shew great signs and wonders. False prophets showing great signs and wonders, speaking things, and they're coming to pass. But Jesus said they were false prophets. I'm saying this because a lot of people believe that something is said and it comes to pass. Man, that's a man of God right there. That's a real prophet. That's a real woman of God. No, no. No, no. Not necessarily.
Amen.
But Jesus said these false Christs, these false prophets show great signs and wonders. Insomuch, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. The Lord Jesus told me this years ago. He said the deception of the end time was going to be so powerful, so great, and here's what he spoke to me. He said that you yourself would be deceived if I did not intervene.
Amen. That's right.
And I'm going to tell you, I stay in the Word. You understand what I'm saying? If the Lord Jesus spoke that to me and told me that I myself would be deceived if he didn't intervene, do you realize what he was saying to me? He was saying that no matter how much you stay in that Word, the deception is going to be so powerful and so great, the spiritual onslaught is going to be so intense that you yourself, even though you're standing in the Word, you would still be deceived. And the only way the very elect will not be deceived if Jesus steps in between.
Amen.
That's how powerful the end time deception. Listen, it is just now beginning.
Amen.
We haven't seen. Matter of fact, years ago, I told people, I said, I don't even know if you've even dealt with Satan yet. We may have only dealt with a few little old demons.
Amen.
I don't even know if we've dealt with
the devil. Amen.
The real Satan yet.
Amen.
Are you listening?
Yeah.
Yes. Amen.
I'm trying to let us be make sure that we stay awake.
Yeah.
The Bible says, awaken to righteousness. The Bible said there were 10 virgins, 5 foolish, 5 wise, but they're all asleep. Amen. It's time to wake up.
Amen.
The bridegroom is coming. The hour of midnight is here. Amen. But the deception Jesus spoke of is going to be so powerful. I can't emphasize enough that what's going to happen. We have got to stay in this Word. I'm telling you, I am convinced that people that really love God is not even studying the Word. They're not in the Word of God. They're not praying. They're not fasting. When I came into this thing 40 years ago, I come up with ministers of nothing to fast 21 days, 30 days, 40, 50 days, 60 days. We come up fasting and prayer. That was the whole ministry, was fasting and prayer, getting in the Word of God. That's all we knew about. Many of y'all know my testimony, how I stole my possession, living in an old school bus. I guess I was a Jesus hippie, I don't know. But I mean, God had a hold of me. And I realized, I mean, I needed to get in that Word. And everywhere that we went, we preached this kind of a message and everything. And people, amen, we would come to church. People would be there an hour before church started.
Amen.
They would be praying. They would be seeking God. But somehow or another, like Sister Glenda said, we're playing some kind of role. We're playing church. We're playing like, I'll show up, you know, and I'll eat me a hot dog and a hamburger and drink me a cup of coffee while the preacher's preaching and all that. That's a bunch of baloney.
Amen.
That's a bunch of baloney.
Amen.
They've got churches now. There's a church there in Illinois that Brother Myers told me about. It's the Assembly of God Church. He said they took all the chairs, the pews and stuff out of the church, and now they've got tables set up around everywhere. They've got a little computer set up on each one of the, some kind of little lift set up on the table. And then what they've done, they've got coffee and they've got sandwiches and everything. And the preacher don't need priest there. Preacher's another place, got a big screen. And they come in and they all sit down and have fellowship.
Lord Jesus.
And that's their church. Well, you don't know, you don't want to know what I would say about that.
Praise God, amen.
But I will. That's an abomination to God.
Amen.
Paul himself said, don't you have houses to eat in? Why shame you, the church of the living God?
Amen.
But see, we don't want to pay no attention to the Word no more.
That's the truth.
We don't want no preaching no more.
Amen.
We don't want the Word no more. We want a party.
Amen.
You don't want to tell us about a social event. Tell us about, you know, know, the young marriage group, or those that, you know, the single people's group, and all this kind of junk.
Amen.
You know, we got to have a gymnasium. We've got to have a party.
Amen.
Amen.
Preach it, Brother Hayes.
Lord, help me, Jesus.
It's the truth.
But it's the deception.
Amen.
But see, people are swallowing it hook, line, and sinker, the way we used to say it, down and down. They're swallowing it. You know why? Because they're carnal. They're in the flesh.
Yes, amen.
But see, that's when I see people come to my meetings. You may all disagree with one another, but there's one thing in common that you do have. You're sick of religion. You're sick of the church world. You're sick of what's going on in the church world. You're sick of television preachers. You're sick of what you see in amen among people that are supposed to be God's people. And you want a reality in Christ.
Amen.
Yep.
There is a common denominator about the people that I come in contact with. Even though you might be messed up. And I can tell you, I believe all of you is messed up, including me. We're all messed up to some extent or another.
Amen.
But we need to look at the common denominator. We're trying to escape the damnation of the world and the damnation of false religion.
Yeah.
We're trying to escape lies and hypocrisy. Amen.
Amen.
And we're trying to come to a place where a right relationship with God, even though God has placed that in us, in ourselves, we know we're not where we need to be with God.
Amen.
And if you don't fit that common denominator, you don't need to be hanging around me.
Amen.
Because I'm on a journey.
Amen.
And not a lot of people want to go where I'm going. Amen.
Right.
I'm going behind the veil. I'm going into the holiest of holies.
Amen.
I'm going into the place, amen, where Jesus is at. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm going to go, praise God, out of the flesh and into the spirit realm. And I want to take somebody with me, amen, that will lay aside the weight of the sins and all the ungodliness, all the stupidity and all the foolishness, amen, and get away from knucklehead and get on the right track with Jesus. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. And I find people of the same opinion, north, south, east, and west. Amen. But everybody's personalities is different. God made us all different. Amen. I might go one place and everybody's, you know, jumping around like frogs out of a water. Amen. You know, and boiling in a pot or something. Other. I might go to another place and it looks like it's dead at 4 o'clock. Wouldn't move, amen, if an atomic bomb went off. But it doesn't matter. It's what's in your spirit. I want to see your eyes. I want to look into the windows, amen, of your soul and see if I can see Jesus in there. Can you say amen? And if I can see Jesus in there, then I'll look, amen, for something, a hunger and a thirst after God. And when I see that, I say, you're my brother. You're my sister. I'm your friend in Christ. I'm here, amen, to bring you to another level in God, amen. But you cannot go to that next level until you escape the damnation of the world and sin. You can't do it.
Amen.
You can't hold on to the world with one hand and Jesus with the other. You can't have your one foot, amen, in all of the mess and all of the charismatic stuff that's going on and the other foot in truth and thinking you're going to make it.
Amen.
Come out of her, my people. That you be not a partaker of her sins or receiver of her plague. That is the voice of God when? In the last days.
Amen.
And we are in the last days.
Boy.
The voice of the Lord is speaking to those that have an ear to hear what the Spirit is speaking. A lot of people don't have an ear to hear. They're just like the Pharisees. They're just like the Sadducees. Jesus speaking in parables. They never understood anything Jesus was talking about. They never perceived nothing. All they could see was the miracles. All they could see was the signs. All they could see was the wonders. All they could see was them being fed. They never heard what come out of his mouth. And then when they hear what he was saying, they hated him for it and they killed him. Not because he was a good man and not because he performed miracles, but by what he said out of his mouth. I'm telling you, it's the same today. Amen. God is going to raise up, amen, a people, praise God, that's going to show forth the praises of God. They're going to do the works of Jesus. The word of God is going to come to pass. Them that know their God in the last days will do exploits. Can you say amen? But you will not do exploits in the name of Jesus until you separate yourself, amen, from the world and from the things of the world and from the things that the world is doing.
Amen.
Cannot fashion your life
amen
after the world. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Until you do that, you will never, never, ever do the works of God. Your body, somebody touch your body and say, this is my body. It's not for fornication. It's not for lying. It's not for stealing. It's not for cheating. It is for the Lord. Praise God.
Amen.
Somebody say, you mean he wants my body? He wants everything.
Amen.
He wants your body, your mind, your soul, your will, everything, everything. Somebody say everything.
Everything.
And God's a jealous God. I said, God's a jealous God.
Amen.
He don't want you falling after the gods of materialism and prosperity and money and the world. He wants you following the only God, the only true God there is. Hallelujah. He wants you following Jesus, praise the Lord.
Amen.
And we've got to understand that. Somebody say, oh, I feel somebody say, oh, he's making me feel bad. Praise God. Well, I'm feeling mighty good.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's good.
2 Timothy 3:13, it says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You know, somebody that says a deceiver don't know that he's a deceiver because he's deceived.
Amen.
If I was a deceiver and if I knew I was a deceiver, I would repent. Amen. But a deceiver doesn't know he's a deceiver. Why? Because he himself is deceived. That's why I don't mess with deceivers. Amen. I don't mess with nobody. If he's deceived and he's a deceiver, I just let him go his way because that's what God's called him to do. Somebody has got to gather the tares. I'm gathering the wheat. I'm looking for wheat. I'm not looking for tares. God's got people looking for tares.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, praise God.
Amen. Praise God. Amen.
Colossians 2 and 8. This is what all men can do to you. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Can you love him today?
Yes.
In truth.
Amen.
2 John 1 and 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and antichrist. Praise God. I'm not going to read all that. I don't think I understand much more. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. Matter of fact, I'm going to read some more in Revelation just a bit, but I want to read this to you. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world.
Amen.
You remember my message yesterday morning, how there was only one truth, one way.
Yes.
No other way.
Yes.
The whole world. You have to have this philosophy, if you want a philosophy, that the whole world has been deceived by the devil. Every person you come in contact that's not born again is deceived by the devil. You yourself were deceived by the devil until you were born again.
Right.
You were in darkness. And the prince of darkness ruled your life. The world right now is all deceived. The Jews are deceived. The Muslims are deceived. The Buddhists are deceived. Hare Krishnas are deceived. The good old boys are deceived. They're all deceived. They're all deceived. Your kids, your children, your grandchildren is not born again. They're deceived. And the devil has deceived them. Amen. So Satan is the deceiver. He's the author of deception. The only way to escape that deception is what? To be born again. And it's the only way. And then after you're born again, you have to be on guard constantly. Because of the attacks of your own mind, deceiving your own self, or letting the devil deceive you.
Right.
2 Corinthians 11:13 says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I mean, years ago, preaching along this, got some pretty shocked looks when I said, you know, I have discovered Satan's seat. I know where his throne's at. It's right in the pulpits of churches throughout this world.
Amen. Right. Sure.
Boy, did I get a reaction.
Amen.
But it's the truth. It's the truth. And not at all. Not at all. But he takes over. He is. He can transform himself into a minister of righteousness. Amen. Now, that's how man can deceive you and how the devil can deceive you.
Amen.
And that's what I'll open this up with. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11 says, "And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion." And do you remember what the cause was? They had obeyed not the gospel. Amen. "For this cause God shall send them strong delusion," a deception, "that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness." You know, I have to say things a lot of people won't say. You won't hear this on television. You might as well not look for it. It's not going to be there.
That's
right. You ain't going to find this on television. This is the kind of message that people won't support.
Amen.
Right. They want to say something that people will support.
Amen.
And I mean, I believe in prosperity. I do. I believe it with all my heart. I believe in healing. I believe in deliverance. And I believe in all the goodness of God. And I think I believe it's the goodness of God to lead you to repentance, not scare you somewhere. I believe in all that. But this is the truth.
That's right.
We need the whole truth.
Amen.
People need to awaken, amen, to what's going on in their world, in their own lives, and a lot of times in their own churches. Because I get mail, I get letters, I get emails, I get phone calls. "Brother Hanks, what's going on? Our church has done this. Our church is doing this. The preacher don't preach anymore. He don't preach the word anymore. Everything is coming off the internet. It's some kind of little story all the time. What's going on?" Well, they should know what's going on. We're in the time and the hour of deception.
Right.
And people, listen, people are giving themselves over to the wrong spirit.
Amen.
That's where me and you come in. You can give yourself over to a wrong spirit. How many's ever let the devil use you? Yeah. Well, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all surprised me. I didn't think any of y'all raised your hand. It's the truth.
Yes.
I've let the devil use me before. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Sister Glenn told me one time, after she let the devil use her, she said, "I won't let the devil use me again." But he can use you. Why? Because.
Say something.
Here's my answer to that. Because you're not walking in the Spirit.
That's right.
If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And of course, first you've got to have the Spirit to be able to walk in it.
Yeah.
And if you have the Spirit of God, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You will walk all day long never committing a sin. I believe in living a sinless life. I believe in living a perfect
Amen.
Life.
Amen.
I believe in perfection. Not only mind and soul, but I believe in living in perfection in the body. I believe we can come to a place, amen, that we do not need healing and we do not need a miracle. That we can live in divine health. That's what I believe, and I get it out of here. Amen. If you can't get it out of here, that's up to y'all. You know, but I get it out of here.
Amen.
Amen. If I resist the devil, that means if I resist sickness, if I resist deception, if I resist disease, then it's going to flee from me. Amen. It's when you accept these things, when you accept this stuff. We accept deception sometimes because we think, oh, maybe they're right. Look how happy they are.
No.
Maybe they're right. And sometimes that kind of disillusion, that kind of deception, would lead you down the wrong path. I'm going to look at one more scripture, and then I'm going to pray for you in prayer. It's over in Revelations. I want you to look at this, and I know you know these scriptures, but I think it's good that we remember some things. Revelation chapter 3. Now, we start out with Matthew 5, letting us know that Jesus said at the end time that there's going to be a deception.
Amen.
And it's going to be a great deception. So powerful it would deceive the very elect if it were possible. Then we come down and we go through the different churches, seven churches here. Some of them say these are seven church ages. Some of them say, no, it's this, that. You know. So what do you say, Brother Hayes? I said, well, I don't say nothing. I just read the Bible.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write. Now, if this is the last church age, which I do believe that it is, then the church in the end time is in the biggest mess of all of them.
Amen.
No wonder Jesus says, shall I find faith on the earth when I return?
Amen.
These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy work. That thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. In other words, he said, you're not on fire for God, and you're not altogether backslid. You're just kind of in the middle. You're not on fire for God, and you're not completely in the world. You're just kind of there. And then he said, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. The Lord Jesus, the Savior of the world, is saying that the condition of the church in the last days. Turn to somebody and say, I'm the church of the last days.
I'm the church of the last days.
Yeah, we are. And he's saying that our condition is so horrible in his sight that he is sick in his stomach.
Amen.
That he's throwed up.
Amen.
Because he got him so sick in his stomach when he looks at me and you. He's sick in his stomach.
Amen.
He said, I know thou works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that you're cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I am so sick of you, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth.
Right.
You know why he said out of, and here's something, here's a little revelation here. He's vomited you out of his mouth because you're part of his body.
Amen.
We're the body of Christ.
Amen.
You're part of his body. If something in you is making you sick, what's going to happen more than likely? You're going to throw up, right?
Correct.
You're part of that body. And the Lord, if he said, I'm going to spew thee out of my mouth. In other words, he's going to take you out of his body. He's going to spew you. You're making him so sick, he's going to spew you out of his mouth. It's coming out of him. We're coming out of him. He said, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth.
Amen.
That's a pretty horrible condition.
Amen.
And I'm reading all this to where I don't want you to be surprised with the condition of the church world. And I want you to be the people that I'm going to read about here in just a minute that has an ear to hear what Jesus is saying and turn from this kind of stuff. I do not want to make my Lord sick at his stomach.
Amen.
I do not want to be spewed out of the mouth. And I'm going to tell you another thing. He's writing this to the angel of the churches. Every one of them was written to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, Laodicea, and so forth. The angel is the messenger of the church. That is the ministry. He's written these warnings to the ministry responsible for the church of that age. That's right.
Amen.
That's who it's written to. If I call myself a minister, he's writing that to me. And he's saying to me, look what a mess you've made of things.
Amen.
That's right.
Look what a mess you've made of things.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
So you made me so sick, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. I'm prosperous. I got money in the bank and I've got stuff.
Amen. Amen.
And I don't have need of nothing.
Lord Jesus God.
And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now you think about this. God's view of the church is an entirely different view than man's view of the church. If you look at the church today, what you see on television, what you visit churches, you would think, man, well, God's really blessed these people. They got fine churches to go to, stained glass windows, air conditioned, money in the bank, nice cars. There's some churches, if you got a rattle trap, they make you park it behind the church. Huh. Nice stuff. You would think, man, they are blessed.
Right.
But when Jesus looks at it, he don't look at the material blessings that you might have. He's looking at the condition of your heart.
All right. Amen.
See, always remember, he's looking at the condition of you, the real you, the spirit man. He's looking at your condition. What's going on in your brain?
In the name of Jesus.
You're miserable, you're wretched, you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked, and you don't even know it.
Jesus.
Then he says this, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich. Real, really rich. And white raiment, and thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, and thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. There, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. What a wonderful thing to speak to a backslidden church.
Amen.
If you would just hear my voice and turn from your worldliness and turn from your deception, and come, I'm going to come in and I'm going to have supper with you. I'm going to dine with you. And not only that, I'm going to allow you to sit in my throne. I mean, he has all power in heaven and earth.
Amen.
I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also can overcome and am sitting down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches.
Amen.
Children of God, see, look, it's not all bad news.
That's right.
But we have to understand, when you look at the condition of things, we need to reach it out to people and let them see, listen, you know, that Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming back for a bride. Jesus came back for a church without a spot or a wrinkle or a blemish or any such thing. And the Bible says the Lamb's wife made herself ready. This is the hour of preparation. This is the time for the church to get ready for the coming of Jesus. This is the time, amen, to spread the gospel to all the world. This is the time, amen, of great excitement in the church. But listen, you have to recognize the condition of the church. If you come out of that condition, thank God for you. If you have repented, amen, from the things that you've seen going on around, you couldn't stand it no more. And you've come out from those things and you're going, amen, into that marriage supper of the Lamb. Thank God for you. But listen, you may have brothers and sisters that are still there. They need to hear the voice of come out of her, my people, that you be not a partaker of her sins or receive of her plagues. Amen. There's people still, amen, trapped. Amen. They may have come out of the denomination, but the denomination is still in their heart. They may have come out of Catholicism, but yet, amen, the doctrines of Catholicism is still in their heart. It's got to be taken out. Amen. Those are weeds, amen, that have been sown, amen, into the earth, your earth, praise God. The seeds of deception, the seeds of false doctrine and false teaching and worldliness and materialism and prosperity and the things of this life, those are weeds, amen, that's choking the Word of God. That needs to be dug out of you, praise the Lord, that you might shine forth the praises of him that's called us to this day and this hour. I'm telling you, we have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. God is anointing a people, praise God, in this hour, praise God, to do the exploits, amen, that we're called to do. But remember, he was not talking to anybody other than me and you.
Right.
Amen. Now, I know some of you have already made up your minds that you're going, but I'm telling you, you have to do this. Don't condemn your brother. Don't condemn. Don't be a person with condemnation. Don't be a person, amen, condemning others. Don't be a person, amen, because somebody doesn't understand. There was a young man who was coming to the meetings, amen. So Sister Clem was getting ready to minister. He didn't want to have nothing to do with us. You know, well, I just pray for that brother.
Amen.
I pray for him. I've been there myself many, many years ago. I just pray for him.
Amen.
And then there's a spirit of contention. How people get a spirit of contention. I'm right, praise God, you're wrong. Yeah. We don't need no spirit of contention. It all comes by revelation. If you can't understand what I'm saying here this morning, amen, God's not revealed it to you. I pray God would reveal, amen, to you the condition of the church and why it's in the condition that it's in.
Right.
understanding, you know, not being a person to have a pity party all the time and not being a person to walk around in confusion, a person, amen, that's filled with knowledge and wisdom and understanding and power, knowing who you are in Christ, but also knowing where you come from. Every one of you come from deception. Every one of you were deceived. Every one of you were in a mess. Every one of you were in false doctrine.
Amen.
Some of you still are.
Amen. Right.
Every person, yeah, I know they are. You know what I'm saying? Every person's heart says, yeah, I know they are. What about you?
Right.
Can you truly say you have the fullness of the revelation? You understand it? The Lord spoke to me and said, I have given unto you the fullness of the revelation of Jesus, the Son of God. And I'm going to tell you, he spoke that to me after a long fast, and I didn't think I got anything. And you know what? I wasn't no smarter up here than I was before. I wasn't a bit smarter here, but I knew it was in here. And you know when it comes out? When I minister, it comes out.
Amen.
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 Paul said in one place, what? Did the word of God come out of you or unto you only? There's a big difference. You can go hear a message and you can go repeat it. But that's okay. I'm not have a problem with that if it's the truth. But a real anointed individual, that word is going to come out of them. It's not just going to come into them only. Amen? So I encourage you here this morning, praise God, to not look at all the gloom, doom, and despair. But I do encourage you to be on guard. You've all told me, every one of you, I believe, testified to me, witness to me that you've been used of the devil before.
That's right.
So I'm not going to let you use the devil. Amen. It messed me up. And I don't want you, come on. I'm saying that lightheartedly, really. But I want you to know there is a deception going on. It is a spiritual deception. Please be careful. Be careful. Who you affiliate with, who you associate with, who you welcome into your bosom, who you're dealing with. Make sure that that person is rooted and grounded in the Word of God, the truth of God's Word. Make sure that people, that person loves holiness and godliness. I believe in separation from the world. I don't want to be like the world. I'm not going to be conformed to this world.
Amen.
Period.
Amen.
In any life, in any matter, if I know, if I can help it. Because you know why? I want to be in a position in the relationship with God, amen, to be able to do those exploits, to help others. And certainly not to make a name for myself. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to close with this. I was talking this morning, some talking last night, some. And I was in a great move of God one time in Indiana. And some of those that traveled may have heard this, but I was in a really great move of God there. And boy, the Lord was moving. People were being saved, baptizing people. And I don't know how many folks y'all baptized, and I don't know how many I have. I probably baptized 1,000 people at least, probably more than that. In my journey, but it wasn't me, it was God moving in the services, you know. And they come up to you, know, everybody, you know, they just think, well, you know, who are you, you know, are you a prophet or apostle or pastor or evangelist? What are you? And that's been about 30 years ago, I think, maybe 25 probably. And I was in my trailer and I was praying before service that next night. I was praying, you know, I was curious about that. Because a lot of people ask me what I am, and I usually say I'm a preacher or I'm a teacher. Or sometimes I'll say I'm whatever you can receive me as. Now, that's it. You can receive me as. But I was curious about that. Have you ever been curious about what you're called to do? Everybody's curious about that. You know. And I have been told a lot of times by different people I was this and that. But I wanted to hear from God. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate everybody that tells me things, but I really want to hear from God. When I was praying, I said, God, what am I? I mean, I would like to know what I am, because the people keep asking me, and I don't want to lie, and I don't know what to tell nobody. And I was laying there, and the Lord spoke to me and gave me a scripture. You know what he said? He said, go tell the people that you're a priest. That's what he said.
Praise God.
He said, and I've been preaching against Catholicism out there the night before that. And here I got to go this night and tell them I'm a priest. But that's what the Lord spoke to me. Now, it might have been just for that service, see. And, you know, because I did preach about the priesthood of Christ and all that night. Because it really impacted me, because I had not, at that time, ever preached on the priesthood, the royal priesthood. And you know, the Bible says we're your priests and kings unto God in the book of Revelation. But I went out there that night and I said, well, the Lord told me what I am. Lord, it all, he said, the Lord told me I was a priest. And I had a black shirt on and I had a my white t-shirt and it come up about there. You know, some of them t-shirts is like yours. It comes up right there. And I happened to look down. And all of a sudden got bit. It looked like I was a priest up there. You know, I didn't mean it for it to look that way, but it just come out there. Amen. But you know, God's got a call on every one of you guys' lives. Your call. Amen. You have a destiny and a purpose in this life. Amen. And that purpose and that destiny is revealed by the Spirit of God. Amen. And to really know that, amen, I want you to go back, amen. And what I quoted a while ago was Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. If you want to know what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, that's knowing what God's will is for you. That's knowing your purpose. That's knowing what you're called to do. Go back and read that and read all three verses. Chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. Amen. And 3 is as important as verses 1 and 2. Amen. But if you'll read those and you'll obey what those 3 verses are talking about and what the first 2 are saying to you, I believe you'll know what your call of God is. You'll know the will of God for you. Amen. If you obey what that says. Amen?
Amen?
All right. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise here. Kind of good.
Oh, 1 hour, 6 minutes.